I just thought I would begin with two short stories, true stories. One was the celebration in 1967 in San Francisco for Gaur Purnim, our first Gaur Purnim. And we had minimal instructions coming from His Divine Grace. But one of them was that we were going to fast all day. And sensing that we might not be ready for such an austerity, he said, but if you are not able to do that, you can take some fruit juice. And if that's not enough, you can take some fruit. Or you can take some sugar candy. So we were not knowledgeable about many things based and coming from India at that time, so we didn't really know what he meant by sugar candy, which was just the mystery, you know. But we knew that there was these little round sugar candies made with sugar and a flavor, with a hole in the center, and they were called lifesavers. So we ran to the little store across the street and wiped out all the lifesavers. And we all had our little lifesavers in our pockets in case we needed a boost. And I was thinking today, yesterday, the past few days, about the appearance of Gaur Nithai here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. And that preceded, it was prior to the installation of Radha Gokulananda. But Shamsundar Prabhu had gone to Navadweep during the time we were there with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, and he'd purchased these deities. And when I was coming back, he had given them over to me to bring to London. So then they were in one of those, you know, metal trunks that we were all enchanted with in those days. If you didn't have your own metal trunk, you just, you know, hadn't made it yet. And I had more than one metal trunk because they were in one along with the paraphernalia that had been purchased. And they were upstairs in, I don't know what the room is now, but when you go to down the hallway, past the offices, there was a room, and they were in there in the metal trunk. And this was in the very, very early inception of the manor when, you know, you always hear how we had no money in the old days, and really that was a fact. We were out here without even a vehicle to get around in. And our prasadam was mainly for the first few weeks oatmeal and carrots in as many different combinations you could figure out. Oatmeal because it was really cheap, and the carrots because you could find them on the floor. In those days, the vegetable market was in the Soho area. So we'd go after the market and collect whatever we could, which was usually a lot of carrots and sometimes some potatoes. So that was the diet, and we were getting, you know, there was somewhat some despondency because, you know, here we had anticipated we're moving into the manor and we were going to be living in the manor, and that brought up all types of visions in our little empty heads, and the reality was kind of intense. So I was feeling the despondency of the devotees, and I was thinking the only way we might be able to uplift everyone, besides maybe suddenly a big ton of money coming in, which didn't seem too likely, so I thought if Gaur Nithai manifested, this would uplift the devotees. And I discussed that with Rebati Nandana Swami at the time. And the approval was already there from Srila Prabhupada that these deities could, you know, be installed. So then that was agreed upon. And, you know, practically every deity installation, no matter how simplified it may be, would end up with an all-night marathon the night before to just finish everything that wasn't finished. And they weren't being installed here. It was at, I think it's the theater room now that is across from the deity kitchen. So the sewing room and paraphernalia room was the room that's, I think, an office now across from Prabhupada's rooms. So we're in there like an all-night marathon, meaning not going to sleep, actually staying up. Because when you're young, you can actually do things like that. You know? Srila Prabhupada told us in San Francisco once when the devotees were, this is like in 67, you know, having a hard time with the minimal hours of sleep and, you know, feeling sleepy. And mind you, the Mangal Arati at that point was at 7 in the morning. The devotees were still struggling. And he said, kind of in a reassuring way, that's okay, you know, that as you get older, you'll need less sleep. So in that way, there was a little hope, you know, getting older, you'll need less sleep. But, I mean, personally, I haven't found that to be the way it is. It's totally the opposite. But we stayed up all night getting things finished. And we're looking out the window, and it's just beginning to be light time. You know, so you go from the darkness where everything is just all one in the darkness, and then you start to see some shadows, some tree formations, and you're seeing the mist of the night being lifted off the building's roof because of the sun coming up, so it's warming up, so the mist is lifting off the roof. And then after a little while, we noticed that in the one roof across, which was above the kitchen, the mist was still lifting. But the mist was nowhere on the other roofs. And we thought that was maybe mystical. But then after a little while, we thought maybe something was wrong. And so ran to the kitchen to find out indeed there was something wrong. The kitchen was on fire. So that was, you know, all before the installation. And then during the, you know, so the fire department came, did their business. And they did tell us they'd be coming back later to make a full report. So now we're all in the little, you know, that was our temple room at the time. And now we have the fire yagyan. There's a fire right in the middle of the floor, you know, with big flames. And all the devotees were just dancing around in great joy. You know, and I suddenly looked up and I saw the fire department people looking in the window with just great astonishment. So I opened the window and I said, "It's not what you think. It's not what you think." But they just, you know, when your mind is like bewildered and has come to a conclusion, it's hard to hear anything. And you know. Anyway, but that was their entry. And then Srila Prabhupada came. And, of course, we were really excited, you know, anticipating. Prabhupada actually explained to us that Vaishnavas don't become excited. Materialistic people become excited. But we become enthusiastic, or we look forward to. So we were enthusiastically looking forward to Prabhupada's coming to the manor and seeing the deities for the first time. So he came in and he was looking at them, and then he turned to me and he said, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must wear a peacock feather, Nityananda Ken, but he doesn't have to." So that was the first instruction. Second one, he goes, "Lord," we had like nice, long, luxurious to-the-waist wigs, which we thought were just really gorgeous. And he goes, "Lord Chaitanya was not a hippie." His hair should be, and he just said, shouldn't go past the shoulders. He turned to go out. I grabbed a pair of scissors, and it was like he got his first haircut. And then somebody else ran and brought me a peacock feather. Anyway, Garanga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. So This Gorpurnim falls on the full moon of the month of Falgun, and it's Vasant, it's springtime, and we're experiencing this now, today, very nice, considered the best of all seasons, a very beautiful and very pleasing atmosphere. And the air is scented, the birds are chirping and singing. Like this morning, I was in Srila Prabhupada's room, and I was sitting by the window, so the window was open, so I could hear the birds were chirping and singing. You know, I could smell the air was, you know, fresh. It's a very congenial time, and Mahaprabhu took this time. He chose this congenial time to appear during the full moon eve in Navadvip. So this Navadvip is a very special place, and it's the topmost place in Golok Vrindavan. And there Krishna is performing his wonderful pastimes in the cow, herding cows, and spending time with the cowherd community there. And the most wonderful pastimes is his loving exchanges with the gopis, the cowherd damsels. And of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. So the spiritual sky is Krishna's internal potency manifestations. Everything there is manifested by the internal desire of Lord Krishna. And this loving potency, the loving relationships, are manifested along with competition in the spiritual sky. And it's explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and the Ujjvala Nilamani by Srila Rupa Goswami that it's stated that obstacles increase love. So unchallenged love, you know, if love is just unchallenged, it tends to kind of flatline, you know, go stale. So these obstacles, if they're there, that will create some feeling. The uninterrupted love, it kind of wanes and it decreases if there's no, like, not a little spice or a little heat put on the fire, you can say, lose interest. So we know that Krishna used to tease Rukmini. And she was, you know, so submissive and, you know, like, and he wanted to get a rise out of her because that would increase the affection, you know. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to tease. He would tease my daughter. And he would say, "So, Saraswati, do you want to go to Gurukul?" And she'd go, "No, no." And he'd tell her, "Well, I'm going to get a stamp and put it on your forehead and put you in the post box and send you to Dallas." We were in India at the time. And she, like, tears of, "No, no." And then Prabhupada would laugh, you know. But it was in a very loving, affectionate exchange. And she wouldn't run away. She was a, you know, this was an exchange which actually increased the affection between the two. So in the same way, this is going on in the spiritual world. And, of course, the saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. So this separation increases the loving affections. And these moods, these mellows, these obstacles and separation, they're occurring in Goloka. So sometimes Krishna has exchanges with other gopis, and this angers Radharani. So one time, you know, there's the two camps. There's Radharani's camp, headed by Chandrala. I mean, the gopis that are headed by Chandravali, and then there's Radharani, who's on the other side, and they compete. They have little competitions with each other, and this adds a little flavor to the mellows, or to the, you know, to the flavor of the tension. So on one occasion, there was an associate, one of the eternal associates of Krishna, named Viraja. And she was obviously not in Radharani's camp, because she enticed Krishna to come to her kunj. and her private abode. And then Radharani came to realize that, where's Krishna? And she's looking around, and then she discovered where he was. Now, she could have, like, stormed in and, you know, stormed the fortress, but she was very clever. She created this astonishingly beautiful place. Just, you know, some place that was bewilderingly beautiful. And she did this in a special place called Swetadeep. So the Swetadeep is known as the Milk Island. And it's an ocean of milk within Braja. So then she picked up a flute and she started playing the flute. Just like Krishna, when he wants to attract the gopis, he plays the flute. And they hear that flute, they come running. So Krishna is there with this Viraja. He hears the flute, ears pick up, and he took off. He started following the sound of the flute and running in Radharani's direction. So we know Vrindavan has 12 stunningly beautiful forests, and he's running through the forest, and he's going towards the sound of the flute. And he gets to that place where Radharani had created this incredibly mind-boggling, beautiful place on Swetadweep. And he's stunned. And he pronounced it as Nava Vrindavan, or New Vrindavan. And since it was an island, he named it Nava Dweep. Dweep means island, so this Nava Dweep. And at the same moment, this was like going real fast in spiritual world time, you know, we can't calculate it, he embraced Radharani. And during this embrace, upon the embrace, Radha and Krishna manifested together into one. And that oneness is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and I have to say here that I heard this description given several years ago by Srila Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. So I don't know more than what I heard, but that's what I heard from Maharaj. So the wonderful effects of Navadvipa, which are in this topmost corner of the spiritual world, is that this particular portion of the spiritual sky was created by Srimati Radharani, and it is the place where Radha and Krishna became one. So these are the two areas in the spiritual sky. There's Vrindavan and New Vrindavan, which is Navadvipa. And in this particular area, this Nava Vrindavan, this Navadvipa, then Krishna is assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. And in this mood, he is distributing Krishna Prem. And it's said that he does this, he manifests like this once in a day of Brahma. The other day I had some reason to calculate this or find out with the calculation about a day of Brahma. So I'm trying to remember, it was like this astronomical number of like 6 billion years and many, many, many more hundreds of millions of years. So doesn't happen very often. So how blessed are we that we happen to be in the middle of this day of Brahma. And so he appeared in the middle of the day, you know, of Brahma, in the middle of Brahma's day. You know, not like us, our middle, but, you know, in the middle of his day, which is 6 billion plus years old. And toward the end of Dwapara Yuga. And after performing his pastime, then he disappeared or became unmanifest. So when we say disappeared, it means we're not able to see, just like when the curtains are closed, we don't see the deities anymore, you know. But then they open again, and, you know, it's... So this Brajalila manifested that Krishna, in the manifested portion of Braj, Krishna does not award Krishna prema all the time. You know, so we were, and he showed these three types of intense loving relationships to the Braj residents, which is the friendship, the conjugal love, and the parental, friendship, parental, and conjugal love. And that's kind of sometimes described as you know, special, more special, and most special. So when a devotee develops some attraction or some love of Krishna in the awe and reverence, then that means they're seeing Krishna as God, more of a formal, you know, there's not an exchange because they're like in this mood of awe and reverence. And then there's the next step up. So then the devotee starts to become more attractive and he develops more of a feeling of some feeling. Prabhupada said actually when you chant, you should chant with feeling. So when we're developing our relationship with Krishna, there must be some feeling. And then that feeling, you know, there's this friendship, the vatsala. Sometimes, you know, what is friendship? It means usually between equals, you know, that between equals there's a friendship. And then you could think, well, who could equal God? But in the mood of friendship, Krishna is standing on his godship. He's standing as a friend, just like with Arjuna. And then the parental devotee, and the devotee becomes more superior and bigger than Krishna because he's the parent, they're the parent. And naturally, the parent is superior or larger than the child. You know? And again, Krishna's stepping down on his godship. And then the conjugal love between the beautiful young boys and girls, you know, the gopis, the gopa, and Krishna as the gopa. So it's only in Vrindavan, by the grace of Yogamaya, that everyone forgets that Krishna is God, and that this whole full feeling of love is abounding. So this Maya illusion is forgetfulness out of ignorance. That when one forgets Krishna out of ignorance, that's Maya. But this Maha Maya is different, and it's illusion based on intense love of Krishna. So then one gets bewildered and they don't see Krishna as God, as their most wonderful friend, their parent, or he's seeing them, you know, as friend, parent, lover, like that. So this Prema Bhakti, it's only in Vrindavan, in Braj Leela. And by coming to the spirit, to the material world, Lord Chaitanya was determined to manifest this Yuga Dharma in the age of Kali. And he's saying, I'll teach everyone how to become a devotee of Krishna by my example. And I'll assume the mood and the activities of the devotee. And I'll intoxicate the entire world with loving relationships of Krishna Prem and make everyone dance in ecstasy. So in this Navadvip, every single dust particle is surcharged with spiritual energy. The trees are Kalpavriksha trees, and the cows are Sarabi, and Mahaprabhu's eternal pastimes are going on. You know, everything is alive with Krishna's loving exchanges, and every atom, every particle is exchanging love with Krishna. So therefore he's worshipped. Mahaprabhu is worshipped as Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Premipadaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Gora Tize Namaha. And it's said that one horse sacrifice, if you can manage to pull off one horse sacrifice, you'll earn a planet. And if you can pull off 100 of these sacrifices, you'll attain heaven, heavenly planet, like equal to Lord Indra. You can even become Lord Indra. But one step in Navadvip is equal to 10 billion horse sacrifices. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Navadip Dham ki jai, Sri Gaur Purnima ki jai. Hare Krishna.